Hello and welcome to the first ever episode of the Deceptively Athletic podcast. I am Tony Romanello, and with me is Mark Jakowski. What's up, Mark?
Hola.
Also with me is Marshall Hartman. What's up, Marshall?
I just ate dinner and I'm really full, but let's get going.
And lastly is Greg Bossman Stefanik. What's up, boss?
What up?
I just got home and I'm freaking starving. So
two ends of the spectrum, right?
All right. So before we jump into everything, just want to give a little quick description rundown of what we're probably going to try and do with this pod and you know what to expect. Pretty much, I feel like we're going to try and do this like semi-regularly, right? Like every week or so, we'll try and do one. And
yeah, definitely.
Daily. Hourly. Minimum. 3 hours a day.
And, but yeah, we're pretty much going to be talking about whatever we feel like talking about that week. So we're probably going to be mainly hitting on NBA stuff, you know, maybe some football stuff here and there. But
5 hours of hockey.
Well, definitely NHL. Never. Yeah, we got to get the hockey never. Talking, guys.
Never the NHL. But we'll also be hitting on some music stuff, which will pretty much be exclusively of the rap variety. And we'll also be hitting on some TV, movies, and, you know, whatever else we feel like talking about. But now that that's out of the way. So today, Woj reported that Jason Kidd was fired by the Milwaukee Bucks. So give me your impressions.
I mean,
Marshall, reaction. The local give Bucks fan.
Yeah, give us what's the feeling in
yeah,
in
yeah, yeah. Okay, I mean, I will say I've always followed the NBA, but moving up, I moved to Wisconsin, and I was like, hey, Pittsburgh doesn't have a team. I'm going to start following the Bucks and watching their games. And I have the Suns game on right now. I'm just casually glancing at it. They're looking okay without Giannis. But anyway, the thing I noticed about Kidd, which he gets a lot of criticism online, fairly or not, but whenever you actually watch him and watch his team perform, I think the biggest thing that stands out is like he just doesn't understand how to balance minutes for players and put out consistent lineups. Like, I remember one game where he just had Giannis out for like 20 straight minutes and then pulled him like with like 6 minutes left in the fourth because he was tired. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing? Oh my God. And then they almost lost because I had to like rush to sub him back in. But I mean, they actually interviewed the GM during this game and he said that John, what's his last name? Grunty or whatever. He's going to be the coach for the rest of the season, and then they're going to make a hire in the offseason. So all the hot Fizdale rumors have to wait for a bit. But I think overall this is probably definitely the right move. Actually, not probably. This is definitely the right move. I think Kidd is a very player-friendly coach, but he's also very stubborn. Like he's tried to implement this super aggressive defensive system, which really hasn't worked out. It's led to the Bucks just giving up a bunch of fast break points. And offensively, they're like if you look at their numbers, they're doing fine. But if you actually watch them, it's less game planning, more just like talent on the court. So I honestly don't think it could be much worse with where he was because this is at minimum a playoff team, in my opinion.
I mean, yeah, I had them locked in as like a 5 or a 6 seed before the season at minimum. And they're like 8th mm-hmm. right now. And the defense is a problem. But even like you look at the offense. And Giannis is posting up a lot, and literally 4 guys down on the opposite side of the court, and nobody moves. And I get that, like, it's okay to just let Giannis go to work, but, like, give me some split cuts. Give me, like, a pin-down screen. Give me something where the big man doesn't pre-rotate over to Giannis and the other team's defending 4-on-3 in the weak side of the court. Like, give me something that makes the defense, like, work and make decisions.
Yeah, and it's been, from what I've been reading online, it's been consistent with him. I really only started watching. I've watched a ton of them this year, obviously, because I actually get their local games. But, yeah, I mean, he's been very set as far as offensive and defensive game.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Yeah, it's kind of been like a thing that I've heard that he's kind of difficult to work with. He's like you said, he's very like stubborn and in his ways, and he's not really he never really tries to like bring in other ideas or you know he's not really open to anything. He's just like we're doing it my way. And that's the way we're doing it. And Like I said, it's pretty much been a consensus. Everybody thinks this is probably the right move, even though it does seem like it wasn't the smartest of ideas to not tell Giannis beforehand.
Yeah, I mean,
they didn't tell Giannis.
They didn't. Yeah, that's the biggest thing that I'm worried about as a Bucks fan is that Giannis really loved Kidd. He was really a big fan of him, and he even I saw a report that he even called and tried saying like, "Hey, let me try to save your job." Kids, so I mean it's tough, but I mean I think that's the right move because ultimately you end up losing Giannis because of that. I don't think he was probably going to stay anyway, and with Kidd, I think your potential of actually making a run or doing anything in the playoffs is really capped. So
I watched Bucks versus the Heat a little bit ago, and I mean they were trapping Tyler Johnson and Josh Richardson like well behind the 3-point line. I'm like, are you serious?
Yeah.
It doesn't work. Or if your team can't move the ball, it works. But like the Heat, the one thing they do is they move the ball very well, and like they just ping the ball around, and the team constantly overhelps. They're constantly trapping, and no matter how much size and length you have, you can't always recover. Like you have to have sound defensive principles. You have to drop some pick and rolls. Like you can't just trap everything.
Yep.
Yeah, their defense amazes me. Because aren't they like 25th in the league or something?
Yeah, they're not good. They're bottom third, I think.
I know, and like you look at their like the players on their team, and I wouldn't consider them to have anyone like bad on defense, really.
No, they got good length.
Yeah, and like Giannis should be like a really good defensive player. I mean, he has been. I mean, he has to do more offensively now, but he's still a good defensive player.
Yeah,
and I don't know. It's just crazy that they're. You can't at least get that team to like top half defensively.
Yeah, that's my point. Which they should like, be top half
and
minimum.
The worst thing is like type of players they have on that. You look at all their defenders. Like Chris Middleton can credibly guard three positions. Malcolm Brogdon can guard two. Tony Snell can guard three. Giannis can guard like four, maybe five. Like why are you switching a ton? Like it doesn't make any sense where you have like all these guys who guard multiple positions. Like no.
Exactly. No. The defensive scheme doesn't fit the roster at all. It doesn't, like you said, Mark, perfectly. They have so many players that can go on multiple positions, so you want to be switching as much as possible, but instead they're doing this stupid trap shit. So.
No, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I think it is the smart move. I do hope they go after Fizdale this offseason, though. I think that should definitely be the move for them. I mean, I don't know. Is there anybody, else out there you guys could conceivably see them going after? Or do you think they maybe should look at if they don't get Fizdale?
Yo, here Phil Jackson's not. Yo,
please no. I didn't
Mark
even
Jackson's
the worst,
available.
But no. Oh,
Mark
God.
Jackson. Oh my God.
Yeah, what's D Fish up to these days? He needs another coaching gig. Right?
Jesus.
No, yeah. So it seems like Fizdale's kind of their.
Far
and away their number one option at this point. Is who they should go.
No, definitely. They actually said they're sticking with the interim for the rest of the season into the playoffs. So, I mean, they have some time to see if anyone else opens up, any other random coaches get fired by their teams for some reason. So, that's kind of a wait and see.
Why did they fire him now, though? It seems weird, though.
That's my biggest question mark. Yeah, I was reading that they thought they would be further along. They were expecting, like Mark said, they were expecting to be at least competing for a top four seed in the East, and just where they're at right now is
they're what at least before tonight they were what sitting eighth and like 23-23.
Yeah, they're at eighth right now.
Like they should be better than that. And I mean, it does seem weird that like we're gonna fire him 45 games into the season. Like, it seems like
The timing is really strange. I don't know, but
it also seems weird that I guess I mean because Fizdale's like available and like you said that should be like their number one option. So it's like it seems weird that they wouldn't try and like you think it would be weird if they tried to get him like mid season.
Well, Fizdale's waiting for that opening in LA to come with LeBron next.
Right.
Oh my gosh!
Right. I forgot about that. But anyway, anybody?
No, I see your point, yeah. Tony. But I think they really do like this interim. Let me look up his name. It's like John. Grundy point, is that
I think so. He's been like coach, like a lead assistant for like 7 years, I think.
Joe Prunty. Yeah. Yeah, he's been in the league for like 30 years. I was listening to the pregame show for the Bucks game. He's been involved with the Spurs organization. So I think they do trust him and they want to give him a chance to see how the team looks under him. And if you just keep it with, you know, within the same coaching staff, there's some continuity there. So you're not like, you know, like you said, firing a coach this far into the season is pretty strange. So I think they're trying to not switch things up as much as possible. So I mean, we'll see how it goes with him, but I think the goal has to be to go aggressively after Fizdale in the off season.
Well, all right, let's move on from this one. Mark, you said you read the report about Kawhi Leonard today, that he was getting distant from the Spurs.
Yeah, cold and distant.
I skimmed it briefly, and it didn't really seem like there was any like kind of evidence of it, and like both Kawhi's camp and the Spurs both rejected the report and said it wasn't true. So I mean,
wait, what's the report again? I didn't read this.
Kawhi's becoming distant from the Spurs because of like the handling of his injury, but like
his injury,
they were disagreeing over like playing or something, or him not being ready to play. He's played like limited minutes in 9 games this year. It's not like they've been forcing him out there for like 40 minutes a night. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
A lot of, like, nothing.
Yeah.
However.
Yep, I agree.
Kawhi the Celtics. You heard it here first.
Jesus. All right, what's the trade, right. Mark?
We're doing it now?
Might as well.
Okay,
no reason not to.
All right, we'll get into that now, I guess. Give me your trade deadline trades, Mark. I want to hear them now.
All right. So, obviously, the Kawhi trade. This is mostly a joke, but if the rumors are true. All right, so we got Kawhi Leonard for Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Gershon Yabusele, Semi Ojeleye, and then the Lakers/Kings pick. What do you guys think? You keep Marcus Smart, you keep Morris, you keep Baines, keep Rozier. I know the Celtics don't want to deal him. And you still have a solid 9-man rotation there, and you're getting Kawhi Leonard to pair next to Gordon Hayward on the wing next year.
Yeah, I mean, it's a trade, but I mean, I don't know. Like I said, that would never happen in like a million years. Yeah. But
yeah, the Spurs trading Kawhi just seems mind-boggling to me. Yeah.
The Spurs,
the Celtics would take that.
Of course, unquestionably.
Although,
what would happen if like Pop got his hands on like Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, and then they just both ended up being like some like 85% of Kawhi Leonard in like 4 years?
I mean.
Pop would be coaching until he's like 90 at that point.
Yeah, but I mean, I think Pop's got another 4 or 5 years in him.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, no, I totally agree. I'm saying, like, if he got those young, talented players to coach, he's going to want to keep coaching as long as possible.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
But, well, since you got to the trade, do you have any other trade deadline stuff? Because, I mean, we've had some reports that the Hornets are willing to deal Kemba Walker. And also they were trying to trade, like, essentially everybody else on their roster.
Yeah.
So, honestly, the Cavs are interested in also everybody that's possibly available, pretty much. So what other trades did you put together, Mark? I know you said you were busy on the trade machine today.
So. Yeah. So I have a more realistic Celtics trade for you first, actually, now that Rodney Hood is available. So the trade would be Rodney Hood and Derek Favors for Marcus Smart, Yabusele, Shane Larkin, Abdul Nader, and the Celtics 2018 first-round pick. Hood and Favors are both on expirings, but I don't know that there's going to be a huge market for them.
Yeah.
So maybe the Celtics could retain one or both. Like, I don't know who's putting out the huge offer restricted free agent Rodney Hood. Or like,
that's true. No, yeah, I guess. I mean, like I said, I guess the Celtics would get Favors, who, I mean, they need a big man. That can rebound, but
you can play them next to Horford too. Like,
yeah,
it's a nice fit with both of them.
Yeah, you could play them both together, and he does give them a little bit more front court depth. And I mean, I guess you can always use wing scores. So I guess that. I mean, I like that one.
Would you say Utah gets back?
Utah gets Marcus Smart, Gershon Yabusele, Shane Larkin, Abdel Nader, and the Celtics 2018 first round pick, which is basically in the late. I also have or the Clippers lottery protected pick in here in case they'd rather have that. But that's a year or two off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually think that makes a lot of sense for both teams. For Utah, I mean, at this point, I feel like you kind of kind of have to sell the season, because I think even bare minimum, you get the 8 seed and get swept by the Warriors. So I think it's better to trade that asset, try to get some draft picks, build around Donovan Mitchell.
And imagine, like, Marcus Smart, Donovan Mitchell, and, like, Rudy Gobert on a team together. That would just be absurd.
Yeah, that would be pretty – that would be – they'd be a crazy defensive team. Not that – I mean, they're already good, but
– Yeah, but
– Yeah, that would be pretty good. I guess Rodney Hood's not really necessary over there anymore. Yeah.
Hey, there are rumors that they want to trade him. He's like apparently on the block.
Yeah, he was a dude a lot of people thought was gonna be like a breakout player of the year and like potential most improved player candidate, and kind of really hasn't lived up to it. And Derek Favors has just been in Utah forever. Like, when was he drafted?
Yeah,
you drafted to the
man.
The Nets.
Well, yeah, he didn't.
You with the canter pick for Darren Williams.
Yeah, he never played it. He never played a game.
Yeah,
for the Nets, did he?
So, or did he play like half a season there? I thought it was like a trade deal.
I think it was maybe half a season. Yeah. I think, he
think about that. Work, yeah. He's been on the Jazz since Darren Williams was good.
Yeah,
that was a long ass time.
Oh, yeah, so I don't know. I guess that trade works for both teams.
I don't know if I see it.
Yeah, that's the. I am a little.
If you're gonna,
If you want, I mean, you already have Donovan Mitchell and Rubio. I don't really think you need Shane Larkin, and I don't really know how Marcus Smart really helps you that much.
And
either.
If you're gonna let them both go for nothing, be a late round pick, Larkin's really a throw.
Yeah, that's the only thing.
And then you get.
Yeah, that's the only thing.
Yeah.
Does Marcus Smart, is he expiring too?
I think he is.
I want to say he is too.
But I don't. Also, once again, I don't see a big offer coming in for anywhere in Marcus Smart. In this economy, no, like,
they might just want to.
In this economy,
no way. But they might just want to have the extra cap space.
Yeah,
at that
but
point.
Like, who are they really get signed? Like, apparently Ricky Rubio is not happy, then, which I kind of understand.
Yeah, no, they might have they looked into trading him. I feel like they should.
What the market really is.
Yeah, who? What is?
Yeah, who wants him?
Who wants Ricky Rubio?
That one.
who wants a non-shooting point guard in 2018?
Utah was like the only team that would actually trade for him in the offseason. So
yeah, I don't think there's no market for Ruby. I feel like at this point, I mean, he's fine. It's just nobody really needs a complete non-shooting point guard.
Like Ricky Rubio can be good, but you build your team to like Ricky Rubio, which really limits how good your team can.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much.
Yeah,
yeah,
and especially they didn't know they were gonna have Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Do you guys think the Hornets will move off of Kemba?
I do.
Do you think they're going to move him?
I think they are. Like, when push comes to shove, I don't know how they get a team. Like, if you're going to contend and you want to get Kemba, there's no way you're taking on Batum or Dwight Howard's contract. That's like a 50-year cap.
Yeah, they're trying. I feel like they're going to, if they're unloading Kemba, they're going to try and move off of one of those summer of 2016 deals that they made, that they have. They have, like, they are loaded with summer of 2016 regret deals, because they have the Dwight one, they have the Batum one, which the Batum one's not like horrid.
That's not as bad.
And then
bad.
They have the Marvin. I mean, it wasn't bad the first like 2 years of the deal.
No,
it doesn't look great now. But
now that he's injured and he's been bad.
And then they have the Marvin Williams one. And I feel like they have another one too.
Marvin Williams actually might be a plus asset.
Yeah, but it's just
he's been okay.
Yeah, it's just they're. His contract's pretty big, though, isn't it? I can't remember what
it's
exactly
like 14
it is.
It's like $14.5 million, I think, for like two more seasons. Or maybe it was like 4 for 54, so like $13.5 for the next 2 years.
Yeah.
Past this one.
Yeah, so I think they're trying to move off of one of those deals on top of getting rid of Kemba. But I don't, like, if I'm like the Hornets, like, what would you need to get back in order to trade Kemba, though? Like, are they just trying to get rid of him? Because, like, to me, it doesn't make sense just to get rid of him for the sake of getting rid of him.
Well, I have a couple of deals here for young players, so let me know what you guys think about this.
All right,
My first one's obviously to the Nuggets. Oh.
Yeah.
So, clearly the Nuggets aren't giving up Jamal Murray. They want to give him a Kyrie Irving talks. So, I'm not including Jamal Murray.
Yeah.
Like, if they're like, Jamal Murray's untouchable for Kyrie, there's no way they're like, wait a second. We can get Kemba.
But Kemba.
We can get a poor man's Kyrie. What? Yeah. But Kemba for Juancho Hernangómez, Emmanuel Mudiay, Darrell Arthur, the Nuggets pick, and then either Beasley or Tyler Lydon. So basically you get three prospects, a mid-first round pick, and Arthur's salary.
Yeah. I just don't know if that's like, if I take, like, if I'm the Hornets, then I'm like, yeah, you know, this is better than just having Kemba Walker.
That's a fair point.
Because, like, none of those prospects are, like that intriguing to me.
That appealing.
Like Wancho, yeah. I think, is going to be fine. Like, I'm pretty out on Emmanuel Mudiay these days. And, like, I mean, Malik Beasley really hasn't done much of anything yet in the NBA. And, like, I mean, he's, like, an all right prospect, but, like, none of those prospects intrigue me enough that I would rather have all three of them instead of just having Kemba Walker on my team. I don't know.
I mean, as much as I agree with you, Mark, about them probably not trading Murray, I feel like he almost needs to be a part of the deal if you're trading with the Nuggets for the Hornets to give up Kemba.
I think the Hornets need to get maybe not obviously you're not going to get like an elite level prospect, but you need like at least a semi promising prospect to come back to you. If Juancho Hernan Gomez is the most intriguing prospect in a deal, like I don't think it's going to do.
Yeah. Or like a top 10 pick.
Or lottery, maybe. I don't know. Top 10 might be a little.
Yeah.
I think you need a lottery pick at least.
I say lottery would push the needle more.
I feel you need more than just a lottery pick.
Well, yeah.
Need a lottery. You need lottery than another young prospect. Maybe not as intriguing as some other guys. But I think if you're going to take like one of those types of prospects, you also have to include a high pick.
I just don't think the Hornets are going to actually pull the trigger on a deal on Kemba this deadline. I just don't see what they're going to possibly get in return that would be worth moving him. And I just don't think moving Kemba just to move him is really doing it. Like, I don't know. It just doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, maybe they do it because they're the Hornets, but
yeah.
If they do it and like trade a bunch of people,
unload everything and
clean house and start over,
then sure. But just moving them to move them kind of doesn't make too much sense to me.
The thing is, like, there really isn't much of a mark. Like, if you look at the playoff teams that also need a point guard, it's like the Spurs. You're not getting any. Like, the Spurs don't really have a bunch of young assets. They have DeJounte Murray, but like, is he really better than a mid first round pick?
Yeah. Yeah. That is also the thing. Like, there's just no, any like team, like a team that would go after Kemba would be a playoff team. And there's just none of them need a point guard. Like, there's just no need for a player like him around. So that's why I just think it's worth just holding on to him. Like, you're not going to find anyone that's going to be willing to give you enough that he's worth dealing. And I think he's just a player that's just, you might as well have him because you can have him. Like, Kemba's going to put people in seats too, still. Like, I don't know, he's fun to watch. Like, people are going to watch your games because you have him. And they're not like in, I mean, they're 4.5 games out of the playoffs.
Yeah. But I mean,
their
point guard situation is not getting any better.
Yeah, I know. But I mean,
that's really what they need.
My thing is like, but I mean, if one of these teams ahead of them like falls off or gets an injury and they go on a run, like they could sneak into like the 8 seed still. Like, it's not like completely out of the question, I think, that they can somehow sneak in there. So to me, it doesn't make any sense that they would just sell them off for the sake of selling them off. But,
well, I mean, they could get a really high pick if they traded Kemp. Like, we're talking their own picks get like skyrocketing. Kemp plus 17.5. Like, that is
terrible without him.
Like, that is like the. Like, they basically go from, like, the Warriors to the Bulls.
Yeah,
Kemba's on it. Obviously, like, this the difference in, like, plus minus.
Yeah. Their bench is just so sad.
Like, and there's no way else you can credibly create a shot.
No. But anyway, we'll move on to the Cavs. Who do you think the Cavs are going to try and get? Like, do you think DeAndre Jordan's a realistic person they can actually bring in?
If I'm the Cavs, so here was my idea for the Cavs and DeAndre Jordan. The Cavs get DeAndre Jordan and Lou Williams. They give up Love, Fry, and the Brooklyn pick. And it's like a pretty steep price.
Yeah.
And the pick.
Yeah.
But it kind of moves everything up that, like, if LeBron doesn't come back, you can let Lou walk, you can let DeAndre walk, you can let Isaiah walk, and then you have like one more year of JR, two more years of Tristan Thompson, like $3 million in cap space next year and like 80 the year after that.
Yeah.
I just don't know if you move off the Brooklyn pick to go for it.
Yeah, that's my thing is, like, I don't think DeAndre and Lou will put you over the top to beat the Warriors.
It just really guarantees you're going back to the finals.
Yeah, pretty much. And
if that's
good enough for them and they think that they can still somehow keep LeBron, then sure. But I think if they're, like, genuinely concerned that LeBron's leaving, I don't think they should move off the Brooklyn pick. Like, I really don't.
Well, what if that?
Yeah, unless they can like get a, like some kind of guarantee or like even just something from LeBron.
That's what I mean. I would hope he's like you know, he's talking to that franchise.
But I really
and letting them know his intentions.
Yeah, I really don't think he's giving them anything though. Like, I really feel like he's not telling.
No,
them. Like,
I don't think he is either. Yeah,
I don't think he is either. Which is why I would definitely not.
And here's my thing with the pick. Like, what if the Brooklyn pick ends up being 9th or 10th, and you get like Mikal Bridges? Like, is that really worth like holding on to? Opposed like getting another shot at the finals, even if you have like a 10% chance of being the Warriors.
Yeah, I mean, I guess.
Don't you gotta take that and hope like you shoot lights out for a couple games and like Andre Iguodala is just like broken and Draymond Green can't shoot again.
Yeah,
don't you gotta run those risks? Like,
yeah, I guess. I mean, I guess like you said, if it ends up being at like the mid to late lottery, is it really worth it? Like, you might as well just throw it out to have a puncher's chance at winning a title again.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I think Mark's right in terms of that Clippers deal gives them a lot of flexibility too, which is I think that's the only way I would ever trade that that Brooklyn pick would be if you know like okay, if LeBron leaves, we could instantly blow this up and be able to tank, you know, and kind of reset.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think the Cavs like priority this deadline should just be like, let's try and get the team that LeBron would most want to play for next season. Like, they just have to feel, I feel like they have to put themselves in a position to be LeBron's best option for basketball reasons to stay. I mean, like,
they really never will be though. If the Sixers, if the Sixers get off Jared Bayless, they're like almost max room. If the Spurs can get off like Pau Gasol and like Rudy Gay, they're pretty much in max room, and like they can get off those guys. But I don't doubt that like that's gonna be a problem for them.
Well, I mean, that's what I mean. Mm-hmm. Like, I think the Cavs should just be like, we're gonna have to. Well, let's just put ourselves in the best possible position to retain him. Is like they might not do like get it, but I mean, I think they have to try and
even if they give up the pick.
I mean, well, if they give up the pick and like say they get Deion, like if they get somebody and then they're like, okay, we can have this person, like. Like, with the DeAndre situation, I know they're going to end up having to pay him a ton of money, and they probably won't want to. But it's like, all right, like, I feel like DeAndre's a person that LeBron would probably like to play with. And, like, you could give up the pick. That gives you a really good chance at making the finals again. Like, he improves their team. And I feel like he makes it at least a little bit more intriguing for LeBron to come back.
Yeah. I saw that Lou Will is one of the 5 best players in the league defending the pick and roll. And, like, Lou Will's a pretty terrible defender. It's literally just because DeAndre Jordan is behind him.
Yeah.
Like, he just turns into, like, this lockdown defender overnight. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I
actually don't think the Clippers would do that. They're making a run right now. Like, they have like an 80% chance to make the playoffs or something right now. I've seen.
I mean, they are.
So, like,
I actually agree with you, Greg. I don't think the Clippers would do that.
Yeah, and I mean, and why would you trade him? I don't know. Why would you keep Blake some reason? I don't know.
I think the only reason you would move off of DeAndre is because you don't want to pay him next year.
Yeah. Same with Lou.
Yeah. Like, same with Lou. Like, I think this would be like a perfect, like, we're going to sell high on Lou.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think Lou makes more sense.
You get the
selling pick. Lou now makes so much sense.
Yeah, you get the Brooklyn pick. You get to put together Blake Griffin and Kevin Love, which just might, like, make you a top 10 offense, especially with Tay Dosich, like, Austin Rivers.
That would be intriguing to watch. Oh, my gosh.
Like, Blake passing out the post and, like, Kevin Love actually being able to shoot off screens, like, that's a matchup nightmare for a lot of big men.
Yeah. I actually don't think the Cavs, like, are willing to send Kevin Love, though. Is the only thing.
Why?
I just think they're. I don't think they want to. I think they're going to try and make the deal with like Tristan and like the Brooklyn pick. And like, so I don't think it's going to happen. Is kind of what I'm thinking.
That's not going to be enough.
Yeah, I know. I just don't think they end up getting it done. But like, that's the thing. I just don't think they end up doing it because I don't think they want to move off of Love.
That would be stupid. Yeah. Good player, don't get me wrong, but like, I mean,
wait, who's in the? Who would be? Who would be the? If they did that trade, who would be the ending 5 for Cleveland? Then
you probably close with LeBron. Or IT, Wade, LeBron, Crowder, and DeAndre.
Yeah.
It's
not great.
Yeah.
That's not great, yeah. Is that much better than having Love?
It might be a league average defense, though.
Yeah.
Like, the Cavs are a lot better with Kevin Love on the bench. And that's because, like, his defensive center is just it's not there. He can't protect the rim against starters.
Dude, they almost had a negative point differential. That's insane to me, man. Oh, my God.
Dude,
they're still 29th in defense.
Yeah.
Give up 142 to the Thunder.
Dude, Jay Crowder being a bum is, like, the worst development the Cavs had this season, honestly. Like, I feel like they were really banking on him being able to carry their defense to being, like, not horrid. And he is, like, bad.
Yeah, he's been terrible. He's
bad. Like,
he was a significant part of the trade for.
Like, so Jay Kyrie, Crowder wasn't good at defense. Go on, Greg.
He was good at defense like 2 years ago.
Yeah, but not last year. Last year he was like.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't that great last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually I agree with Mark. I feel like some guys, they get their reputation built after one season, but then the results don't actually hold up, but they're still known as like a great defender.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I thought he would be better this year just because he didn't, like, last year he had to do a little bit more for the Celtics, and this year he could basically just sit in the corner and like catch and shoot with LeBron.
Yeah, but
look, that really hasn't
pretty much I was like even if Jay Crowder, like, his defense wasn't like wasn't for real last year, like, or he was an overrated defender last year, I still thought he was just going to be better than what the Cavs had. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, that's
like,
fair.
Yeah, because they had
better than Richard
like,
on defense.
He would at least be a...
Yeah, I was like he's got to be at least better than what they had. Like, but, I mean, he's really not been great. Honestly, that's looking like another Danny Ainge fleece job there. I'm not going to lie. That trade is looking better and better and better every day. Those, like, if Brooklyn, like if that Brooklyn pick ends up being like 10 or 12,
or something,
and like, and then IT is like never like even anything like reminiscent of what he was like last year, and Jay Crowder turns out to actually be a bum, like, like Danny Ainge got them, like, he did it again. As much as I hate to say Danny Ainge did it again, I think Danny Ainge did it again.
Yeah. I mean, Kyrie is a special player. He really is.
Yeah. And, like, the crazy thing, at the time of that trade, I was really like, oh, you know, that's not bad for both sides. I actually like that for both sides. But then now, it's just looked worse and worse for the Cavs as we've gotten farther away from it.
So, to be fair, I didn't expect Brooklyn to be this good.
Oh, yeah.
That was, like, it definitely destroyed the Cavs' ability to win a title.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Like, not having Kyrie, and like, Kyrie is he's been a little better this year, but he's definitely in the 10 or 20, like, lowest percentile defender. But, like, even if you say he's in, like, the 20th percentile defending, replacing that with the literal worst defender in the league, who, like, it doesn't even matter if Isaiah Thomas tries, because he can test the shot, and he can test it, like, your chest. You're like, oh, no, block my elbow.
No, like, yeah, like, dude, that was always like, my
guys
thing.
Guys just aren't afraid to shoot literally over top of him because they aren't afraid of, like, literally, what will he do to me?
No, yeah, like, dude, that's what I was thinking. Like, people were like, oh, well, Isaiah can't be, like, he's not that much worse than Kyrie. I'm like, but Kyrie had, like, size at least. Like, he could at least kind of bother you with his size. Like, Isaiah is, like, a literal zero. Like, he can't even, like I said, even if he tries his hardest, like, he's just not going to be able to make a difference on the defensive
end. No.
Especially when you got to play against the Warriors.
Exactly. Like,
he would have literally zero chance against Switch.
He's just shut
even
down
on Steph
Curry.
Even on Steph.
Mark it down. Thomas holds Steph Curry to 10 points a game and 25% shooting.
Jesus Christ. All right, well, let's move on from our Cavs rant here.
You want to go to the All-Stars?
Yeah, let's do the All-Stars. The All-Star starters were announced, Friday? Is it Friday?
Yeah.
And the East starters were Kyrie Irving, DeMar DeRozan, LeBron James, Giannis Antetokounmpo, and Joel Embiid, with LeBron being the captain from the East. From the West, the starters are Steph Curry, James Harden, Kevin Durant, Anthony Davis, and DeMarcus Cousins, with Steph Curry being the captain on that side. So what did you guys think of the starters? Were you guys surprised by anybody? Thought anybody got missed?
You could definitely make the case for LaMarcus Aldridge or Al Horford or Victor Oladipo. But, like, by and large, they really got this right. Like,
Yeah, I agree. They were pretty much exactly what I thought was going to be.
Yeah.
Honestly. Well, with Steph and LeBron being the captains, does LeBron have the first pick?
Yeah, LeBron.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, so the starters have to be all picked first. Those eight players have to be the first eight picks. Who do you think LeBron's going to take first overall?
Giannis.
You think he's going Giannis?
I mean, the smart thing to do would be to, like, if it were an actual game that actually mattered, you'd take KD. But, like, it's the All-Star game. I think he kind of wants to, like, make a statement.
Yeah.
I don't know. The only reason you take KD first is like shoveling Steph Curry's face.
Yeah.
See, that's what I think is going to happen, and I want it to happen so bad. Oh my God, it'll be so funny.
I just can't wait till like neither of them take Kyrie Irving.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm pretty convinced Kyrie's going to be the last starter taken. Like, they're just going to leave him there, and I guess Steph's going to end up with him, right? Or
yeah, with the eighth pick. If Kyrie Irving calls shooting, that's not bad.
I mean, yeah, that's not bad, but I just think that nobody's going to want to take him because LeBron's, like, the king of being petty.
Yeah. And, well, if you're Steph, like, even if you want him, what's the point in taking him if you know LeBron won't?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. That's kind of a whole thing, too, but
yeah.
I don't know. So who do we think are going to be the reserves that are picked by the coaches? I think they're supposed to come out, what, Tuesday?
Tomorrow.
Tuesday.
Yeah, tomorrow.
We're recording this on Monday night, so they might be out by the time people hear this. But we'll go through who we think should make it. Starting in the East, who do you guys think are like some definite locks that are going to make it out in the East?
I think Oladipo's a lock.
Let's see, I agree.
Yeah, for sure.
Agreed.
I think Kyle Lowry's pretty close to a lock.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, he's had a great year this year.
Hmm.
The biggest thing,
I think he should be.
Really, his stats are down a little bit, but like his per 36 numbers are the same. They're just playing him less. The Raptors have been phenomenal this year. They definitely deserve two All-Stars. He's probably the best defensive point guard in the East.
Yeah,
I agree. I can definitely see him in. I wouldn't necessarily call him a lock because I could also see a chance that he could be left out. But I mean, he's definitely a strong contender, and I personally have him in as well.
Yeah, I don't know if I would call him a lock necessarily. I think he might get left out strictly because his like per game numbers aren't impressive, even though it is the coaches picking it.
Yeah, the coaches put DeAndre Jordan over Damian Lillard. Right?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that
is true. They don't give a fuck about your per game numbers.
No, that's true.
The wins are what
matter. That's a fair point.
So we agree on Oladipo as a lock.
Yeah.
And we pretty much all agree Kyle Lowry's going to get in. So those are two guards we have as the reserves. Who are your forwards you think are locked?
I think you got to put Horford and Porzingis in.
Yeah, I agree.
Mean, Porzingis is slow.
Yeah, Horford, Porzingis.
But he's still like 23-7 with like good defense. Like I don't know. There's really not a case to leave him out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I don't know how much stock they put in it, but his start of the season was like really impressive. Like he averaged like 30 for like the first like month of the season.
And he gets no easy shots.
Yeah, no.
Like no one on that team can shoot a shot for him. He is a 7-footer who can shoot from like 28 feet.
And their team's like, I mean, they're on the edge of the playoffs.
They have
whatever.
No business being
there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's by far.
Oh my God.
Yeah. He's by far their best player.
Tell that to Michael Beasley.
Undoubtedly.
Michael Beasley, Greg. Oh, yeah.
Michael Beasley started.
I feel like Al Horford's going to be a dude that like casual fans are like super confused when he makes it.
Yeah.
Because I feel like nobody thinks like Al Horford's actually good for some reason, but like he's averaging like 13, 8, and 5 and shooting like 43% from three on three attempts, which is like absolutely insane.
He's definitely an all defensive team candidate too. Like,
he's like literally what makes the Celtics like as good as they are. But
he was their best player for like the first 20 years.
Yeah, but
he's been their best player all season.
Kyrie gets them buckets, people only pay attention to that. But I mean, I also think Al Horford's pretty much a lock. What's the who's the third front court guy? You guys think?
I had Drummond, Gordon. Or Drummond, Aaron Gordon, and Chris Middleton is like my last three.
No Kevin Love.
Look, if your team's better, I'm sorry. I don't care what kind of numbers you put up.
So this is for your third
forward spot.
Third forward spot. Yeah, right,
we'll put Kevin Love in there for the sake of discussion.
Yeah, I have Middleton getting it because I'm a big Chris Middleton guy, and I feel like he's been really good this year. And
no, he definitely has.
So I mean, I just like him as a player. I mean, he has the numbers, 20 points, 5 boards, 4 assists. And, I mean, the Bucks have been not as good as we thought. But I think Chris Middleton's been really good. And I kind of think he deserves to get
in. Yeah.
Because I feel like he's a dude that not, like, a lot of people realize averages, like, 25 and 4.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. He's been really good this year. But I guess my question will be if the coaches are picking, are they actually going to respect that and pick him? Because, like we've discussed, the wins just haven't been there for the Bucks this year. When you look at, like, you know, how the type of talent that's on this team, they really should be a higher seed. And then I could see definitely include Middleton, but I personally went with Drummond, though.
Yeah, he was definitely really close for me because he's been, like, really good this year.
He's actually, been, like, passing the ball. I guess a lot of dribble handoffs and, like,
yeah,
backdoor, like, cuts, but, like, he's actually, like, shown an ability to pass the ball. He's hit 20-30% more free throws this year. Like,
yeah.
He's definitely good in case.
Him averaging 4 assists is, like, the one thing I don't think I ever would have guessed, like, coming into the season. Like, yeah, Andre Drummond's definitely going to average 4 yeah. assists a game this year. But, I mean,
well, that are, 60%
of the ball. Yeah, and he's also averaging –
which is yeah. crazy.
He's averaging over a block and a steal, too, which is, like
– he's still not great 15 on
– rebounds.
Yeah, he's still not great, but, I mean, he has the, like, defensive counting yeah. stats. But, I mean, but, Mark, doesn't yeah. he break your golden rule? The Pistons are their net rating is -1.5 with Drummond.
Or wait, Drummond's I looked net on ra- B-ball ref, and it said it was
with Drummond on the
plus
court?
Minus 0.6.
Oh, well, I did mine on NBA.com.
There we go. Yeah. Hey.
Well, it does different things.
What's
like, they're, counting they're, rebounds as possessions, like awards.
Yeah. Yeah, I know there's a slightly different, but no, yeah. So
what's Tobias Harris? Because you can make an argument.
I think he does have an argument, but if I'm taking a Piston, I think I'm going to go with Drummond. That's just
kinda, I agree.
That's just kind of
I agree with you, Greg, yeah. though. I have Tobias on my short list as players I would think about, but I think Drummond does more for that team overall.
Yeah. So yeah. so for our five reserves that we have to have position wise. We have what? Oladipo, Kyle Lowry, Al Horford, Chris Stapps, and are we agreeing on Drummond? Or are we going?
I guess so. I kind of want to give it to Middleton.
Yeah, actually, I'm kind of in on the. I mean, we could put Middleton in as one of the wild card.
I don't know about that.
Because we still have two extra
yeah,
spots.
Yeah, but we need guards though. That's the
yeah. I mean, we have enough guards. You only have to have two guards, technically. As
yeah,
the,
but
yeah, the, but if, when I mean, think wait, of who yeah. I want to get in for the wild card, it's probably two guards. So.
Yeah, yeah, I guess.
I'd be okay with Middleton. He was another person on my list, so I just want to shout out to Drummond because
yeah,
mean, when you look at the improvements he's made this year, they are shocking. Like 4 assists and 63% of the line is just insane. Mm-hmm.
I really wanted to put Aaron Gordon in, but, like, I just couldn't just.
Yeah, yeah. He was on like, my no, short list. Yeah.
He's legitimately no, fun to watch. He's a great defender. The oops he'd catch in the All-Star game would be bananas.
Yeah.
But, like.
He'll be a fun addition, team, but, like, dude, yeah. The team gets it for me.
Yeah,
I didn't even have
dude, the
yeah, their team's dude, the too mag- bad.
The Magic started out 8-3. We realize that, right? They literally like had one. They're six and 29 in their God, since damn. That. Like that is absurd. Like people were actually like starting wow. to convince themselves the Magic might actually be a decent team this year, and then they just completely stopped learning, like knowing how to play basketball. Like
to
it was
be
really
fair,
impressive.
Wait, those yeah. first 11 games, they shot like 56%.
Oh yeah.
If yeah, you was, if sorry. You go worse than 8-3 while hitting 56% of your threes over that stretch, like I don't know.
Yeah, so are we? So what? Who do we have then? Oladipo, Chris Stapps, Chris Middleton, Kyle Lowry, Al Horford.
So
yeah, those are five. Now we need two
yeah.
spots.
I think I nominate Bradley Beal.
Yeah, I
agree 100%.
He was yeah, actually somebody I considered as like a lock. To be honest, yeah.
that's what I was meaning. When Mark, when you said Lowry was her lock, I actually had Beal as a lock.
And yeah,
I have Lowry as my fourth guard, and Beal as like a wild card. But like, you could really switch them.
Yeah, yeah. See, I had yeah. Beal as the fourth guard, and Lowry as the wild card. So
yeah, I agree with you, Tony. That's yeah. what I had as well. But yeah, I mean, what a season for yeah. Beal, man! Holy crap!
Yeah, dude, I was worried about him earlier in his career because he was injured all the time. But healthy him's pretty cool. So. I hope.
Yeah.
I hope healthy Bradley Beal sticks around. So, yeah. Who do you guys have as your last wild card spot?
Oh man,
I have Kemba.
Ooh,
Kemba.
I like it. That's also who I have. So,
dude, yeah, like I told you guys before, I just had a list of names. So, I mean, I'll just go through and call some of them out. Like I have Wall.
yeah,
Dragic, Kemba. Mm. We talked about Tobias Dragic. Harris.
Interesting.
Vucevic. God, I'm actually kidding. You guys know I'm yeah. a huge fan. No,
yeah,
but
Jonathan Simmons.
Dowdy, I'm probably down between Wall and Kemba.
I'm giving it to Kemba strictly on the fact that the Hornets are 17.5 points better when he plays.
That like
pretty much exclusively for that reason.
Like, they're like a plus +5 with him on the court and like a minus -12 with him.
Absurd. Like
I was on B-ball reference. I saw 17.4 and I'm like, that can't be possible. Like there has to be like a mistake in the algorithm. I was like
no, yeah. So I'm giving it to Kemba pretty much strictly off that premise.
And I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
I mean, we all know how good John Wall is, but this season it's really, I think Beal has been the story of the season, and getting him that spot I think feels right. And
yeah.
Kemba, like that plus minus is insane.
Yeah. Wall's missed like 10 games.
Yeah, he's missed.
Yeah, yeah.
And he hasn't been
good. I don't think it's crazy. Yeah, he hasn't been as good.
I will throw out, do you think there's any chance Ben Simmons sneaks in?
No.
He's
kind of fallen off recently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like if Ben Simmons,
unlikely.
If you swap Ben Simmons like first 20 games with his last 20 games, I think it's a legitimate case because it's like he's heating up, like coming into the All-Star game. But like he's had a lot of like 12, 6, and 7 nights, and like he hasn't been scoring as consistently. His assist numbers are down a little bit. Like
I
don't know.
Yeah, I think he's kind of started to get I think the scouting report's kind of starting to get out on him.
Oh yeah.
So I think teams are starting to figure out how to play him, and it's not like what is this 6'10" point guard freak of nature? Like they're like, okay, I kind of know what to do now. But
I remember at the beginning,
and he's still just not good with Embiid without Embiid.
Yeah.
At the beginning of the year, like, the Pistons had Reggie Jackson on him in a game. And I'm like, what is happening? I'm like, Stanley Johnson was literally on the court. I'm like,
Of course he's going to do well against Reggie Jackson. Yeah. Like, come on.
But, like, it's like, you have Stanley Johnson out there on, I think he was on, like, Robert Covington. It's like, switch Beal onto Covington, or Avery Bradley onto Covington. Put, like, Jackson on Redick and put like Stanley Johnson, your strong 6'7" forward, on like the strong 6'9" forward. Like how hard is this?
Stanley Johnson's like a tank too, so he could definitely. Yeah.
He's like 240.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move to the West here. Who do you guys have as locks in the West?
Yeah, Twain. I'm just gonna list off. I have five that I think. I don't know. I don't know if you guys have any argument. So Westbrook.
Yeah.
Lillard.
Yeah.
LaMarcus.
Yeah.
Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
And Towns.
Okay, I have all of them. I have all five of those as well.
Yeah.
What about you? What about you, boss man? You got them five?
Yeah, although I didn't really prepare this at all.
I forgot Westbrook.
Dude, I totally forgot him when I made my original list too. I was like looking, and I was like, wait, I didn't put Russ on here because I just like him for some reason. I just assumed he was in already.
Yeah, you're assuming to be an all-star starter. Like, that's the insane thing about the West is, like, these five players are all good.
Like, that's like, what it was.
There's no question. They should be on the all-star.
It wasn't that I, like, just forgot Russ because he isn't good. It's just, like, I just assumed he was a starter and just completely, like, just was like, all right, he's already in. I don't even have to write him down.
Yeah, I completely forgot. I was like, oh, he's, like, good but not great on the West. But, I mean, he should definitely be in it. Did you say Dame was a lock, Lillard?
Yeah, I did.
I mean, if you look at Damian Lillard versus Kyrie Irving's numbers up on my phone, and like they're really close.
Yeah,
and exactly.
And Dame just has to get in because he's been snubbed like 4 years in a row. Yeah. So put him in the All-Star game so we can quit with the like
Damian Lillard at the All-Star game.
So we can quit with the like. Oh, I know everybody overlooks me, and it's like, all right, just put him in so we can stop hearing this. Like, I'm just over the whole like. Everybody always underrates me, and it's like, all right, dude, cool. We don't, cool. But we all unanimously agree on those five, though.
I do.
No arguments from anyone. So who are you guys' two wild cards then?
Well, wait, we have the last forward spot because Jimmy Butler is a guard.
Oh right.
He's technically a wild card in that.
So we have an extra forward spot and then a wild card. So who's your
forward? So I think the last forward spot's Draymond, Paul George, or Jokic.
Yeah, I agree. I have Draymond, but I wouldn't be mad if you put in like Paul George. I really wouldn't be too mad if you put in Jokic. Blake? But I have Blake. Blake on the short list, but he missed.
He is on my short list. Too,
he missed too much time.
I would put those three ahead of them.
Yeah, he missed too much time.
I mean, some of it's like best is how they're doing this season, but I think in either case those. Aces thing, Blake.
Yeah.
I would put Draymond on.
Yeah, that's who I put into. But like I said, if you told me you wanted to put Paul George in there, like I wouldn't fight you, Everett.
I don't know. Paul George has been stellar on defense this year.
Yeah.
But
he's been great defensively. Offensively, he's been
Green. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, he's having it down. Like, I guess he's touching the ball less. But he's having
Is Green having that good of a year defensively, though?
Draymond? Yeah. Warriors have, like, the number three defense in the league.
Yeah.
And Kevin Durant. All right. Everyone needs to chill with this Kevin Durant for DPOY bullshit. Because, like, Kevin Durant is a great defender on, like, 60% of plays. But he really mails it in the other 40%.
Yeah, no. I think he's overrated. I think the argument for Paul George is that, I mean, he basically does almost, I mean, not as much as Draymond, but he's giving it to you defensively. And then offensively, he's also averaging, what, like 20 a game?
He's shooting 43% from three, pretty much. But they're him and Draymond's shooting percentage are pretty much identical. But
Draymond's basically been, what, like a net zero on offense?
I mean, he's 11-8-8 with like a block and a steal.
Yeah. I don't know. I just.
Yeah, but yeah. He kills their spacing too, though.
Yeah, but he's a way better passer than Paul George.
Yeah. I just have Draymond in because the defensive part and. Yeah, he just does everything for that Warriors team, honestly.
If we want to talk about Paul George's defense, like, Paul George doesn't, like, Draymond brings it every night. He's the linchpin that holds their defense together. Like, Paul George was guarding Trevor Ariza for the whole game on Christmas. Like, he got switched onto Harden a couple times, but, like, Robertson took Harden. It's not like Paul George is out there every night, like, putting in this superb defensive effort on, like, the main guy. Like, he's been great on defense.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of overstated. It's not like he's a night in and night out, like, lock down the other best player.
Yeah,
I agree with that, but I kind of agree with what Greg was saying as far as what George brings offensively to the team is huge. But I mean, I would probably be okay with Draymond just because, I mean, if you look at the Warriors and like it's just a hard not to put multiple Warriors on this list, you know?
Yeah. All right. Who do you guys have as your last wild card then?
All right. Well, this is part of the reason why I put Draymond on also because I have Chris Paul.
What? This is the biggest shock of my life. DP I would have never guessed that Mark Joukowsky would be putting Chris Paul. Chris Paul.
Mark, what happened? Are you okay, man?
All right, so first of all, Rockets, not a real threat to the Warriors. Let me preface with that. The Rockets are 15-0 when, like, Harden, Capella, and Chris Paul play. He's played five less games than Steph Curry. So I don't really think the games thing is like a legitimate argument if Steph's going to start. Like, he's been unstoppable. Yeah. Like, and I really want to put Klay on, but like,
I have Klay in, but I don't know. I don't mind the Chris Paul. Honestly, I really don't.
I understand your point about Curry and he only played, you know, five less games. But I feel like there's been some other players I've mentioned where it's been like, oh, they were injured. They missed parts of the season. But I mean, yeah, his numbers are impressive, but he still has missed a ton of games. But, I mean, I think from the perspective that the coaches are going to pick this, I could definitely see him getting selected. Just because, like you said, when he has played, he's been insanely good for the Rockets.
How many games has he actually missed?
He's missed, like, 15. He's played in 27 games.
15.
Yeah.
Like 15 games.
15, 16, something like that.
45, 43. Yeah. I don't know. It just depends on how much weight you want to put on, like missed games.
Like,
I don't know.
I totally understand the toss up
at that point.
I totally understand the Klay argument, but it's like if we're gonna let Steph on with 32 games, like,
yeah,
I really don't think we're toting the line at 28 or 29 games specifically. Like,
it probably also ends up that Klay doesn't get in because and Chris Paul does just because they're like we're not gonna put in four Warriors and only one Rocket. But
we'll see. I actually think. In real life, I think Damian Lillard's going to get let off and Klay and Chris Paul are going to get on the wild
card. I mean, that's probably what's
going to happen. Please, also, God, that'd be such bullshit.
Also, wait, can we take a second to talk about this Lou Will thing? Because, like...
Dude, Lou Will, all-star. Wrong, boom, he's in.
It's super cute. Lou Will has had a lights-out 13-game stretch. But, like, an all-star... Like, maybe in the East. Maybe in the East he's an all-star. But not in the West. Come on.
Yeah, there's just too many good players.
Yeah, no. Dude, what about Donovan Mitchell? Donovan Mitchell's the real snub here.
No. I love Donovan Mitchell, but no. Like let's be real.
I know. I was 100% joking.
Yeah. Also, I would like to point out how bananas is it that like Blake Griffin missed too much time. Kawhi Leonard really hasn't played this year. Rudy Gobert missed a bunch of time. Like
Paul Millsap.
And well, I'm talking in terms of all-star locks. Like Paul Millsap is a very good player. But once again, not an all-star in the West.
Yeah, I mean, I think he, if he played the whole season, I think he might be one of the like fringe dudes we're talking about. But yeah, I agree.
Would you really put him over? Even like think about his last season, like where he had a way bigger role in offense. Would you really put him over this year's Paul George or this year's Jokic?
No, yeah, probably.
So he's
not.
Like the seventh guy out in the West.
Yeah, probably. But still, if Paul Millsap's your seventh guy out for the All-Star game,
yeah, that is bananas.
Yeah. Dude, Mark,
dude, but Clay, Clay.
Boss man, did you just say Mello? Get the heck out of here. Oh.
Wait, I thought Clint Capella should be an
all-star. Oh my god.
Mark, what about
Clint Capella?
That's kind of cute. Wow. Like Clint Capella's had a good year, but like I don't know. Are we
this is the West.
Yeah. Maybe in the East, him or Steven Adams could be an all-star.
I just want to know how's Devin Booker not an all-star, Mark?
All right, Devin Booker's like first of all, Devin Booker's putting up 23-4-4, and I thought for like half a second, I was like, no.
Yeah,
he's
dude.
Good this year.
Yeah,
he's shooting like 48-9% or something.
Yeah. He's
39% from three.
Yeah, he's like 44-39.
39.
Yeah.
From
three. To be fair, I might have been wrong on Devin Booker. Like, this is what I thought peak Devin Booker was going to look like. This is what I thought it looked like in like 4 years. Like,
how old is he now? 22? 21?
Yeah. I think he's 21 still.
Yeah.
He might actually get like 28, 29 points a game in like his prime, which is just insanity.
See, I just
I still don't know if he could be productive. On
yeah,
a good
see, that's
team,
my thing
we'll
is
see,
I need to see him on like a team that's like not just like here, Devin Booker, go score 25 points a game.
Like, yeah, but he's like an average passer right now. Like,
yeah, he is. He is. I agree.
I think he's pretty much all right. He's DeRozan with a 3-point shot.
Yeah. Okay.
Which like that's pretty damn good. Like DeMar DeRozan is a top 20 player in the league. And if like peak Devin Booker is DeMar DeRozan with a 3, and he's also way better than DeMar DeRozan was in his third year. He might be the best shooting guard in the league after like Harden's like.
Also, I don't think he's quite as good as DeMar DeRozan.
No, I mean like
let's
this is like 3-4.
He's not as good as a finisher.
This is
he could be. Yeah, I don't know. He's still is he? I don't think he's like great at finishing yet. He needs to get a little better.
This is great because a year ago Mark was a Devin Booker detractor.
Hey, I'm just
and
saying,
now he's standing for him.
I'm just saying I still got D'Angelo Russell over Devin Booker long term. Still got it.
Dang. So you're like in on D'Angelo Russell as like a top 10 player at this point, then, right?
No, it's just a point guard's more valuable than a shooting guard.
Well, yeah, I know, but I was just saying because you're like DeMar DeRozan's a top 20 player and Devin Booker's gonna be DeMar DeRozan with a 3-pointer, so I'm just feeling out what the ranking is like here.
I don't know. But like you, and look at the young point guards in the league. Like, look at the point guards under 25 who have actually had like a positive impact on the team.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's a very short list.
It's basically not a list.
Yeah, pretty much. It's, but
like
I don't know. Well, we're in it like an hour. Do we want to cut it off here, or do we want to talk about and like move NFL stuff to next week, or? And do music stuff next week and TV stuff next week because
let's just push that stuff and, next week.
Yeah, or next when we do, we can talk because we're an hour deep.
You guys are up late. Yeah, I know you guys are up late. I'm fine.
I'm honestly not gonna lie. I'm like kind of going into this crazy Drake deep dive about like him wanting respect from like not mainstream folks, but like the people who like go on about like Kanye and Jay-Z and Kendrick and like Chance and not Drake, like that Black Excellence line where he's like on
Diplomatic Community.
Like I kind of went back, like I went back to like 2012 and I have lyrics stemming from there, but I didn't have enough time to go through all of his albums in a single since then. So
what is your argument, Mark? What is your argument?
No, it's just how Drake was saying like the like Black Excellence, but not when it applies to him, but he like doesn't really care about it. But I have like, I pulled like 15 or 20 lyrics already that showed that he kind of does care.
he totally cares about it.
Oh my God.
I found a lyric. He compares himself to like Nas and like, like in the trap. Like, it's from a 23rd Beat Party Next Door song. But,
Mark really goes on the deepest dives.
Wait, to be fair,
random stuff. It's great. Yeah.
So I might have some wild thing about Drake next week that we can talk about.
All right, good. But I just want to bring up. People were getting at Drake for that one line about like the Maytag washing machine and like
calling it corny. Yeah, that was
hot. I know. Dude, nobody gets like Drake always gets crap for like having like maybe a slightly corny bar here and there. Nobody else gets even remotely the amount of crap for having way worse lines in their songs. Like Eminem has had like an infinite amount of incredibly corny, terrible lines, and nobody says anything about them.
Yeah,
like
same with J. Cole. Like,
oh, wait, dude, so J. Cole says some dumb stuff about
whether or not J. Cole is good, and he literally ended like each of his like 13 rebuttals with J. Cole a line talking about farting or shitting.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I mean, that's a real line he said. I can't remember exactly what it is.
No, but there are like 13 of them. He's like, I'm the shit boy, you can't out fart me.
Yeah.
And he has like a bunch of them.
Yeah, he has a lot of them.
Also, I would like to go on record and say that Drake's corniest line of all time is on We Made It, where he says, she say she working at Walgreens, but not at the store at the head office. The head was so good, it makes sense that she works at the head office. Like, that is really the corniest line. Like,
dude, I don't think I can ever get past got so many chains, they call me Chaining Tatum.
Okay. That might be it.
That's the worst. That's the worst Drake line. That's the one I always think of. That's the worst Drake line ever.
Yeah.
If he does a pop style remix now, do you think he'd say, got so many J's, they call me Jason Tatum?
Oh! But it's like, God, please, I just like how it's just funny that Drake gets crap for doing that, but it's like, nobody said a thing when Eminem said, watch her leave out the window. Guess that's why they call it window pane. Nothing.
What song is that from,
one with,
dude?
Rihanna from Recovery, I think.
Yeah.
Love yeah, well, new M is whack.
Dude, like, new like, M but, like, no, new M is nobody whack. Says, I nobody bet. Said a thing.
Eminem?
Yeah, because there are so many Eminem stands just for no reason. Like, I know so many people that, like, even when they do stuff, they're like, you know what?
Eminem is the most hyped up rapper of all time with 3 good albums.
I would say 2 good albums and 1 album with some good songs.
Yeah.
But yes. Oh my God. And then the people that just continually to defend.
Yeah, and it's like, it's always the people too who are like, rap, there's no lyricism in rap. They're not like Eminem. And it's like, dude, do you listen to like half the stuff Eminem says?
Eminem is the most problematic rapper of all time.
Yeah.
And that's like a really hard thing to be.
Like, yeah.
Honestly, is there anyone who talks about like rape in their music as much as Eminem? Anyone in any genre ever?
Yeah, it's fucked up, dude.
It's wild. It's
fucked up.
It's wild, dude. But no, people will defend him to forever. But it's just funny that it seems like Drake gets way more crap for saying like corny stuff than anybody else.
I think it's because he's so in the spotlight and so in the limelight that even the people that like don't listen to hip hop can just like someone will like tweet out a lyric and we'll blow up because everyone's heard the song and it was like ha 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 Drake, you know. I feel like that's a huge part of the internet too, is like just the bandwagon effect where one person calls out something and everyone just hops on it, you know?
Yeah. Nah, but it's like didn't Chance have like a song where he legitimately just like sang the ABCs?
Yeah, on the DJ Khaled album.
And people fucking love it.
Yeah.
And I guarantee
that. It's like, what?
Dude, all right, no, Chance could put out like a 70-minute album of him making whale sounds. And people are like, dude, this is so fucking deep. Like, you don't even get it. Like, his daughter can't
that's the thing.
That would be dope. Like,
dude, that's my least favorite thing that people do with music is claim that like you're not smart enough to get it.
Yeah.
That's 100% my least favorite
thing. Tony, you cannot understand the deep lyricism of DMX, okay?
No, but like people really only do it.
He's going to give it to you. Okay, he's going to give it to you.
People really only do it with like kind of like Kendrick where they're like, wait, you're not smart enough to get it, man. And it's like,
well, my point is
no.
Too, then fuck it. I don't care what he's saying. He'd be saying some fucking like poetic shit if I don't like listening to it. Whatever.
No, yeah, that's how I am too. But it's just like, I hate the like you're not intelligent enough to understand this person's music, people.
Yeah,
those are my least favorite people in the whole
world. Oh my God, yeah. And there, wait, so there's a list of artists that they do it with. It's Chance. It's Kanye. It's J. Cole. It's Kendrick. It's Logic.
See, I don't even think
it's Frank.
Kanye doesn't get it.
Logic.
Dude,
logic. Wait, are there actually logic stands, dude?
Dude, there's exclusively logic fans stands. All of his fans are stands. They're one and the same.
Yeah. So logic. All right. So there's two types of relatability in rap, or like music in general. There's like actual relatability, where like you're like, damn, if I were in that situation, like I do this. Or like at one point in time, I was in this situation. And then there's generic relatability, like when J. Cole made a song about losing his virginity. Like, yeah. That's you, like, even Best I Ever Had by Drake. Probably a little generic relatable.
But Logic, yeah. Oh, but it's so good.
It is so good. So good. And, like, so Logic's like, oh, I'm a nerd. And then, like, all these people who self-identify as nerds, like, oh, he's the only nerd rapper ever. Like, yeah. We have to flock him and defend him because he's one of us. Like,
yeah, like, Marshall, like, his last album legit moved, like, 125 copies in the first week.
Yeah.
Like 125,000. Like, man, it's crazy. Like, he's actually super popular.
He's been like a top 10 selling rap artist the last 2 years.
Yeah.
That's like, so crazy.
And no, like, yeah, but
I don't even know what he raps about. Like, he really raps about
nothing. Being a nerd, dude.
He has like one or two syllable rhymes. Like, I don't know. There's not a lot there.
No, he has a very nice to listen to flow. His music is very easily digestible.
Yeah, but it's empty calories music.
Yeah, but it's easily digestible.
Yeah.
And
I don't know, man. I try to listen to some of his hits, and they are not, like, easy to listen to, like Drake, you know? Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Or, like, Travis. And
I kind of find, like, Logic is, like, fairly easy. Like, you can just, like, if somebody put that on, like, in the background somewhere, like, I would, like, it would just kind of be like it wasn't there, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, I could just kind of listen to it.
Because it's so boring, it's just, like, to listen to. There's nothing going on there. Yeah.
Him and G-Eazy are definitely, like, the two least compelling artists.
G-Eazy is factually the least compelling artist.
Like, G-Eazy puts out, like, two hot songs every album, but, like, yeah. Let's not pretend like the other 18 aren't just, like, completely unlistenable.
Like he's the most bland rapper.
Yeah,
I've ever seen.
I mean, all right, wait, no. So Lil Wayne has this one line where he says, "I'm the all American," or something about like, "I'm the leather glasses, black jacket, all American bad boy." And I'm convinced G-Eazy heard that line and that line only,
and just took, like, over that persona.
He's like, "This is my entire life." Like,
yeah,
I'm gonna make a whole rap career off one Lil Wayne line.
Yeah, G-Eazy really just was like, I'm going to become, like, I'm just taking on this persona, and I'm going to be this character, and I'm just going to make a career out of being this person.
Also, wait a second. Like, G-Eazy wouldn't be a thing if it weren't for, like, 15 to 18-year-old white girls either. Like, we have to realize, what a huge part of his fan base that is. Like,
oh, huge. Almost all of them, really.
Like, no one who actually listens to a lot of rap music takes G-Eazy seriously, I feel like.
Huh. He's there.
Yeah.
And he's making a living off of it, so good for him.
Good for him. Also,
that's all I gotta say.
I forgot to add that Childish Gambino is definitely an artist who, anytime you criticize, like, people hop to his defenses, you're not smart enough to, like, comprehend him.
Yeah, he's a weird one. He gets so much love for someone who has barely put out any rap music. Yeah. I really don't get it. I feel like his persona and his stardom is just so outside of music.
Yeah, I just feel like people really like him as, like,
yeah, he's a dope person, don't get me wrong.
I love him, dude.
Yeah,
he's not a great rapper though. I still think his best music was that last album he put out, which was like funk.
Yeah.
Oh, are we gonna get into that now, Mark?
No.
It's a trash album.
We're already like an hour 15. Wow. We have to close this out. So we'll get into more music stuff and whatnot next time. Because this one was pretty much exclusively NBA stuff until we ranted about rap music for 15 minutes.
That's true.
Yeah, I know. I thought we were supposed to close it out. Yeah. And then we just started going off on Drake.
Yeah. All right. Well, this was the first ever episode of the Deceptively Athletic podcast. Thanks for listening. If you made it this far, you're a real one.
If you're a company, we are seeking any type of advertisements. we are willing to be bought out. Hey,
yeah,
we will sell our souls if you want to. Yeah. We'll plug anything, man. Yeah. Hey, Brett Dating's power washing. Come on through.
This is the true test to see if Brett listens.
I'm actually gonna write ad for Dating's power washing, and we're gonna run it.
Yes.
All right. Well.
Okay, cut this part off, and then we're going to start the next episode with an opener where we're saying, brought to you by Frank Power Washing.
All right. Well, this should be on Apple Podcasts at some point. So if you guys listen to us and you didn't hate it, you could subscribe to us on there. That'd be dope.
Yeah. I'm sorry, but my voice is annoying, guys. My bad.
Also, to all my friends, there will be a quiz on this podcast the next time I see you. So make sure you know word for word what I said, or we are friends. Pretty straightforward.
All right. Thanks for listening if you did.